Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
We return now to Greece and that no to bailout terms proposed by creditors pushing for more austerity. It's not the end of the matter. 61.3% of voters rejected that offer, according to the Interior Ministry. But is it enough to matter in the negotiations now underway on what to do next? James Galbraith is professor of public affairs and government at the University of Texas at Austin and close advisor to Greece's just-resigned finance minister, Yanis Varoufakis. He says there's only one rational path for moving on. Forgive the Greek debt. James, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Good to be with you.
What do you think happens as a result of this vote, and does it play out according to a scenario that is very familiar to you, or are we in uncharted waters?
I think what is necessary now is for the leadership of the European Union to come out of its shell, recognize the reality of the damage that was inflicted on this country, accept the meaning of the message that the Greek people delivered last night, and begin to change its attitude and its policies. There's a desperate need here for a new approach to the economic policies in the country, for a restructuring of the debt that can make the debt burden viable, basically. Most of all, it's absolutely essential that the European Central Bank stop the tactics of fear and intimidation that were used to attempt to influence the referendum and reopen the banks in this country and allow the Greek government or the Greek banking system to stock itself up with cash in the ATMs so that people can return to a feeling of normalcy.
Wither Yanis Varoufakis, a friend of yours, someone you've advised, he's resigned as finance minister. What do you think is going to happen now? Have you spoken with him?
Oh, yes. We've been in close contact. I just left his office, in fact, and he was saying goodbye to his staff. He's going to return to the parliament and continue to argue for the things that he believes in. I think Yanis has done a fantastic job of carrying a cause of rationality and humanity all across Europe and of providing leadership to the Greek people up until the referendum yesterday, and they responded to that, and you can see that there wasn't a constituency in Greece that didn't vote with Yanis's position, with the government's position last night.
Is it useful to treat the Greeks in the same way as during the financial crisis, you know, mortgage holders, elderly borrowers for, say, Countrywide are treated by the financial system? I mean, doesn't the Greek government have to give up some political sovereignty here for getting a debt relief in the scale that you're talking about?
The Greek government has given up vast amounts of political sovereignty over the last 5 years and agreed to many policy changes, some of which are perhaps constructive, but many of which have proved to be highly destructive. And it turns out, you know, when you look at who really got hammered over the last week by the policies, actually over the last few months, by the policies of the European Central Bank and restricting cash to the Greek banking system, it is the pensioners of this country who are, by and large, very low-income people who are in very fragile economic condition. And over the last week, when they have to stand in lines and are restricted to 60 euro a day in withdrawal from the ATMs, they are the ones who are taking the brunt. And if the ATMs run out of cash on Tuesday, which is entirely possible, they are the ones, again, who are going to be the victims of a policy which is intended to place political pressure on a democratically elected government, member of the Eurozone, member of the European Union, member of the International Monetary Fund. That, for a central bank to do that, is really unconscionable. It's really unconscionable and practically without precedent, so far as I'm aware.
What do you most fear about the future?
There are many cases of countries under unacceptable debt burdens, but let me just point out one, which was Germany after the First World War, which was placed under a crushing burden of reparations that had a terrible effect, as everybody knows, on the history of Europe. After World War II, in 1953, Germany again had large war debts, but the approach taken to them was entirely different. They were forgiven in order to foster the recovery and growth of a vibrant federal republic, which then occurred. So one has the choice now, really, between Germany 1919 and Germany 1953. When you have a country which cannot repay its debts, you cannot go on indefinitely simply punishing the citizens of that country. They're not going to sit there forever and take it. And that was the clear message last night.
Speaking to us from Athens, James Galbraith is professor of public affairs and government at the University of Texas at Austin. Thank you so much, Professor.
My pleasure.